Bacon. We're going to cover some text today as maybe a little tough for some, maybe they haven't done any kind of studying in this area, and because of that, knowing that this is the text we're going to cover, I spent a little extra time this week, more time praying for you, praying that I would make sure that I don't get outside of the boundaries of the Word of God. I don't want to show God any more harsh than He is, but also I don't want to show the Lord any more softer than He is. I want to read the text as what it says. I don't want to add or subtract anything from it. And we'll see here today that the Lord is all about protecting His children, defending and protecting them, and that He is a righteous God. And with that righteousness, with that purity, with that holiness about Him, there is no room for the wicked, for the unrighteous, for the unholy. And we're going to look at some harsh descriptions that He will give. And with that, let's just stand and let's, for the reading of the Word of God, and let's read the text, Psalm 5 here. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Father God, we thank you. God, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray what we do not know, please teach us. Lord, what we do not understand, help us, show us, guide us. Holy Spirit, steer in every heart and mind here today. Please help us as we look to your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We will look here in the text and we will see it's broken up into five spots. First, God's sacrifice. Secondly, God's righteousness. Thirdly, God's imputed righteousness. Fourth, God's enemies. And lastly, God's blessing. We see as David hears this prayer, this conversation with the Lord, he starts with the Lord, he switches to the wicked, he goes back to the Lord, he goes over to the enemies, and he closes again with the Lord. And we see this even in each part, there is a continued building up within here. And what I want us to do first is, as we look at David here comes first with God's sacrifice. And yes, you would say, well, you would think it's David's, but it says right there in verse 3 that I prepare a sacrifice for you. The sacrifice is God's. It is something that David is preparing and giving to the Lord. So let's look there in the text in verse 1. He asks the Lord first to give ear to my words. Then he says, consider my groanings. And then he asks, give attention to the sound of my cry. This prayer builds up. It starts with just words, then it changes to a groaning, and then it changes to a cry. And with that, he tells us the position of God. He starts out right there, my king. How awesome is it to think that here is the king of Israel, but who is the king of Israel's king? Almighty God. Isn't that how we would want our leadership? We'd want the leadership to understand that they are, yes, in a position, but they are in a position under the king. He goes right there, it is my king, and it is my God. We see the position of the Lord in his life, and he says that because God is his king, and because Almighty God is his God, it says, For to you do I pray. Because that is why he prays, is because he is the king and he is Almighty God. That is why he is looking to the Lord. Why do you pray to God? Is it because he is the king and because he's God? Or is it because you've exhausted everything you've done so you feel like he's the last option? Because David is going to the Lord, not just with his words, but with his groanings, with his cry, because he is the king of all. He is Almighty God. That's why David is there. And with that, he comes to the Lord and he prays. And he says there, in the morning. He goes on again and then it says, in the morning again. Folks, our day must and should start with the ruler. It should start with Almighty. I mean, I know most of you would agree with me and can attest that those days that you spend sweet time with Almighty, just it is just a great power throughout your day. It doesn't mean that your day is going to go better. It makes it so that your day can be doable. It makes it so that you have that you go to Almighty God, and that day that comes, though it may be rough, though it may be hard, folks are wondering, how are you pressing through? It's because you started with the Almighty. That though the world may look like it's falling apart, you know you've talked to the king this morning and he is in control. He is in control of this entire universe. He knows what is going on. When you spend that sweet time with the Savior in the morning, it just helps help you get that perspective as you ought to. In the morning. And he goes and he starts there in the morning. And he comes here and we look, what does he do? In verse 3, it says, I prepare a sacrifice. This talks here as a priest. As we know, in the temple days, a priest went in there and he would prepare the sacrifice. It was not just a tossing of the animal on there and just something simple. There was a preparation that happened. But here, we don't see any words of an animal. We don't see any conversation of such. But instead, I jump right to Psalm 51:17. I'll have on a screen here for you. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. What kind of sacrifice does God want? God wants a sacrifice of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. This God will not despise. Because as we saw in Psalm 4, just look up to verse 5 there, it said, offer right sacrifices. He told the heathen, he told those that did not have God, you need to offer right sacrifices because it's pointless to offer a sacrifice if you know the one that you're sacrificing it to will not accept it. See, what we've done is that we've allowed ourselves to know so little about Scripture. We've allowed this a generation to rise up in the church that is scripturally illiterate. And we wonder why God is not pleased with the sacrifices we do. We wonder why God is not pleased with what we're doing. It's because we're not doing what God wants us to do. God doesn't want a show. He wants a broken and contrite spirit and heart. He wants you on that altar. And He wants to work through you and do what He wants to do. You don't come to the altar and tell the priest what to do. You place yourself on the altar and you let the priest do what he knows best. Who is the high priest that takes care of the sacrifice now? It is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What I love is David says, as I prepare the sacrifice for you, it says, and watch. Watch. This just talks of anticipation here. I have here, W.M. Grunel said this, and if you believe, why do you not expect? Oh, Christians, stand to your prayer in a holy expectation of what you have begged upon the credit of promise. I mean, honestly, folks, again, we go to the Lord as a last option, and then we wonder why we don't have answered prayer. I mean, it's like you just tossed a sacrifice in there, and it's not even yourself. You just toss something in there. You toss what's not even that much out of you. You toss what's just convenient for you, and you wonder why God is not working in your life. God wants the whole self on there. And David's saying, here I am, Lord. I'm coming to you with words, groanings, and cry, but you are my God, and you are my King, and that's why I'm coming to you. And in the morning, you hear my voice, and in the morning, I will prepare a sacrifice. He goes from there, here's God's sacrifice, to God's righteousness. He pauses and reflects on God's righteousness. Verse 4, for you are not a God who delights in wickedness, right? He's going to go through and give some negatives here. You do not delight in wickedness. You do not allow this evil to dwell among you. You will not allow the boastful to stand before you. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. You abhor. What a word. You detest. You disgust you. The bloodthirsty and deceitful. The murderer. The cheating man. You detest them. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If I have cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. It says, evil will not dwell among Almighty God. Why? Because He is holy. A holy God cannot have evil amongst Him. It cannot be within His presence. I like how Spurgeon put it this way, Christ will not live in the parlor of your hearts if we entertain the devil in the cellar of our thoughts. Folks, honestly, we cannot allow ourselves to sit there and play with the world and expect God to work in our lives. David is describing those who are not of God. But we dab and we play in these things. You're proud. There's nothing to be proud of. He says the proud will not stand amongst him. And what he's going to do is he's setting things up here. He's setting things up as he says that they will not stand. He hates, he will destroy, and he abhors that bloodthirsty and deceitful men. God cannot stand these things. Who are these? But Revelation 21:8, it says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. There's a progression here. He does not like this wickedness. He will not allow it to dwell among them. He will not let it stand before them. He hates it, he will destroy it, and he abhors it. But Deuteronomy 11:2 says this, "And consider today, since I'm not speaking to your children who have not known or seen it, consider the discipline of our Lord, your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His outstretched arm." Consider it today, folks. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. Do you want to be amongst things? Do you delight in wickedness? I mean, God does not delight in it. He will not let it dwell amongst them. He will not let it stand before Him. He will destroy it. He abhors it. Now, this does not give us license to just hate on folks. Because why 2 Peter 3:9 tells us He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He wants every single soul on this earth to turn to Him. But you see, folks, what helps David as he talks about these folks, as he looks at God's righteousness, that this is it. See, what is the wages of sin? Death. What are we until we come to Christ? Dead. We are hopeless and helpless without the work of God in our life. But see, once that work of God happens in you, He looks through the blood of His Son. It is because of what God has done in your life that you are righteous. And that's what David turns right here. He says, but I, verse 7, but I. And before he goes too far, he says right there, through the abundance of your steadfast love. So as he gives his contrast of what he is, he wants you to understand it's but I, but it's through who? It's through Almighty God. It is through the Lord that this happens. There's through His abundant love, through your, I will enter your house, and in your holy temple, and in your righteousness. But what is the reaction and actions of David here? When he enters his house, what does he do? I will bow down, it says. There's a humility here. Why does he bow down? Because it would be in fear of Almighty God. He will bow because of the fear of the Lord, and he will what? He will follow God. Verse 8, it says, leave me. He will follow God wherever he says, because God is his righteousness. God is what he is. God has done what is going on in David's life. You see, this all this total focus, this scripture is not about us, folks. It is about Almighty God. It is about what God is doing and will do. The text I have, I don't have on the screen for you, for the kids. We talk about God's almighty house, and I had this for the kids in Sunday school a while back, was Hebrews 3, 5 and 6 says, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to things that were spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are His house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. And where should your hope be? In Christ. We are His house now. He dwells within you. If Christ dwells within you, then what comes out will not be what was listed before. In fact, if Christ is within you, then that ought to be how you feel about those things. Because as he goes on to describe God's enemies, verse 9 and 10, there's no truth in them. Look at verse 9. There's no truth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. He says they're liars. Guys, do you not understand? I mean, I read you Revelation 21:8. He listed off liars. God hates lying. And yet we come up with these things called white lies. To try and justify it, to try and make it so it's not so bad. God cannot stand lying. Because what is God? He is truth. And if Jesus Christ resides in you, you ought not to participate in such a way. Don't lie. Don't justify it. He says that these people, they lie. Their inmost self is destruction. But flip over to Romans 3. Save your spot here, but look over in Romans 3. That their inmost self is destruction. And he says in their selves are just an open grave. And we look at Paul. What does Paul say in Romans 3? And I'm going to start right there in verse 10. Romans 3:10. He says, as it is written, he is going to quote out of so many Psalms here. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And what does he say right here, verse 13? Their throat is an open grave. That's right at the Psalm that we're reading today. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They just continue doing this because they do not fear God. They just continue going on into destruction. And they may even have this false belief that God loves, so they can just continue going on. God will love it. God will look past all this. God will just look around it. No, sinner. Unless the blood of Christ is on you, He will not look past anything. What He sees in you, He hates. He will destroy. He abhors it. Verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped. What's the law for? So the mouth will be stopped. The whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in His sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. That's why you have the law. That's why we have these scriptures to show us that we are not justified this way. Go back there in Psalm 5. If you would like, you can save yourself there in Romans 3. I'll be coming back there at the end. Verse 10, it says, he asks, God, give them a taste of their own medicine. Give them a taste of their own medicine. He says, let their guilt, O God, fall on them, right? Let the counsels, may they fall in their own counsels. Why? Because their abundance of their transgressions. Cast them out. These people are just deceiving people. They are doing the works of the great deceiver. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down to him. 2 John warns us, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. There is many out there, folks. Many who want to deceive. And what does it say? David says there in the end of verse 10, they have rebelled against who? You. He's not saying, God, woe is me. He's saying, God, they've rebelled against you. God, they are your enemies. God, please deal with them in such a way. These prayers of David are so serious. But you can see that David spends the time to understand who God is. These folks do not want to repent. They do not want to change their ways. You look, it says that they lie in their inmost self as destruction. Their throat's an open grave. It's open. They just want to continually destroy and consume. He's saying, let them bear their guilt, God. Let them fall in their own counsels. Because their destruction is so much. And because they're against you, God. Verse 11, But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. The refuge there. I went right to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 24. I have it on the screen for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. That's what we rejoice in. Again, you're rejoicing. You sing for joy. Why? Because God has protected you. Because you exult and rejoice in him. Why? Because you are abstaining from this evil, that the God of peace will sanctify you completely. Right to the end. Because why? Our God is faithful. He is faithful. I mean, folks, sometimes we allow this world to beat us down, and we need to be like David, and we need to get away, and we need to get away every morning. So we don't walk around like destroyed Christians. Like Christians that are just looking around saying, this place is a mess. No, we need to start our morning out so that as we go out in our day, we can say, no, my King has got this. My God, I serve the Almighty God. He's got this. He is going to handle all of this. We don't need to, when someone wants to persecute on us, we don't need to seek revenge because we know our God. Oh, He will handle them. Instead, we can tell them, oh, sinner, change. Change, because even though you have done such evil to me, you don't want what you're going to get. You don't want it. I don't care. You may think hell is a party. You may think you're just going to go on with life. But let me tell you, the Scripture says otherwise. The Scripture tells me that this is a horrible place. You don't want to go. Instead, you ought to look to God in verse 11. We take refuge in Him, we rejoice in Him, we sing for joy, and we ask that He spread us with not just protection, but His protection. We think of this protection, and look right there at the end, it covers Him all the way around, right? This protection is all around us. It's not just like a shield. A shield protects only one direction. The shield that God puts around us is totally surrounding us. It knows what's coming behind. It knows what's coming from the left, from the right. It knows what's coming from the top, down, from underneath, any direction. We have a shield that God provides that is totally and totally surrounds us. You remember Jude, right? Right there at the end of Jude, we just studied that not too long ago. Verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from what? Stumbling. Our God doesn't want you falling. He doesn't even want you tripping. And to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with what? Great joy. I mean, remember that? I mean, it wasn't just for joy, but our Jesus Christ, our Savior, has great joy at the thought of the day that He will present you before His glory. Christian, don't feel defeated by this world. Look forward to the day that He will present you before His glory with great joy. You may be thinking, well, you understand, Pastor, I'm going through some tough times. Are you abstaining from evil? Any form of it? I mean, can you stop and think about your week? Did you do that? Did you watch some filth? Did you listen to some filth and wonder why filth came out? That's just basic. You can understand that. I don't need to go too much into description of that, do I? You put trash in, it's going to happen. Abstain from it. Any form of it. Just get it out. Who are you friends with? Are you friends with the enemies of God? I mean, yes, Jesus spent time with them, but solely for the desire to see them turn to Him. He also didn't share words with them that just made them feel good about their life. When they hung out with Jesus, they wanted to change their life. They didn't say, well, let's continue on in sin, because this guy's just, he loves it. He doesn't challenge us. He just doesn't. He just loves on us and lets us continue on. No, when they met Jesus, they wanted nothing to do with it. In fact, it was the opposite. It was those Pharisees and Sadducees that wanted to continue on doing as they did. They wanted to continue on in these new laws they made up. They didn't want to change their ways. It was those religious that missed out. Psalm 9:2. I will be glad and exult in You. I will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. And again, right back to Jude, verse 25. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. I mean, right there, folks. God's sacrifice is desirous is of you. He wants you to be that. But He wants it in a way that is broken, that means humble. Come to Him, bow before Him as David did. Come with fear and follow Him. Not you come to Him standing with pride and tell Him what you're doing. Why was David the way he was? Because of what God did in his life. And if the Lord has worked in your life, you ought to come to Him humbly bowing with fear and ready to follow. God's righteousness, as you look there in verses 4, 5, and 6, I encourage you to think about that. Think about that. God does not delight in it. God does not want it to dwell amongst Him, and He will not allow this pride amongst Him. He will not let it stand. He hates the evildoers. He will destroy them who speak lies. He cannot stand the lying. He abhors these murder and deceitful people. Is that your mind? Do you have the mind of God in you? Do you feel the same way? Is the righteousness that's working in you cause this to happen in 7 and 8? That you humbly go to Him. That you go with fear and you're following. Because all of that comes to with His enemies. And lastly, His blessing. I do not want to close without, again, as I said, that I was going to go back to Romans. Because when you continue on in Romans 3, yes, there is none righteous. There is none. But there's a but in verse 21. If you like, you can close your Bibles or you can follow along with me. But just listen here. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. That means every single one of us, we are a sinner in need of a Savior. There is no distinction. It doesn't matter where you're born, what level in society, it does not matter anything. All have sinned. And all are short and need that Savior. Verse 24 says, and are justified by His grace as a gift through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation, a payment. Jesus Christ is the payment. You cannot add to the payment. You cannot say that I've done this, this, and this, and that's why I'm saved. No, it is Jesus Christ that is the propitiation. He is that. And He's paid it in full. It is Christ alone. By His blood. How is it received? By faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed former sins. And it is how, and it was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Folks, you need to have faith in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone, in order to have that home in heaven. That is it. It is not faith plus. It is not Jesus plus. David put his faith and trust in the Almighty God. I encourage you, you may say that I have. Then I encourage you to pause in this time as we close. And you can just close your Bibles. Pause for a moment. If you haven't, I'm going to pray for you next and pray that you would today, that the Holy Spirit would do a work in you. But if you have, I encourage you now to just bow your head and pause in this time. Prepare the sacrifice. Pause in this time and prepare yourself for the work of God. Because there is not a sacrifice on this world, in this world, that doesn't need preparation. Yes, Jesus Christ has saved you, but in this time you need to pause and prepare. Prepare yourself before the Lord. Have that broken and contrite spirit. Have that mind about you, that you are desirous to, that God would do a work. Ask God to help you to abstain from all forms of evil. If you can think even now, you know of things that you need to stop. Ask the Lord now to do a work in you that you would also hate it. That you would destroy it from your life. That you would abhor it. You would have such a detest that you wouldn't even desire to do anything. But God hates. Ask God to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to work in you. I also encourage you, Christian, to think about where you spend your time. How do you spend your morning? And how do you spend your day? Yes, we have to in this world sometimes. We've got to work with the enemies of God. We have to work next to Him. But I pray that you're not letting the world affect you. But instead you are affecting the world because of what God is doing in your life. You're not friends with the world. You don't want anything to do with this world. Instead you want God to do a work in you. And you want to see this world turn to God. As we have a young man here that is praying that this high school over here, that Jesus Christ would do a work. He knows there's no law that can change that school. Jesus Christ has to change that school. There's nothing we can do. That's why we go to God. There's nothing we can do for our loved one that doesn't have Christ. There's no magic formula. There's no magic word. We need Jesus Christ to do a work. We need the Holy Spirit to work in them. That's why we go to God, and we shouldn't go to Him last. Folks, it should begin the morning. We start out that day. We start out every day before our King. He ought to be your King. He ought to be your God. Let me pray right now. Lord, I ask, Lord, if anyone here doesn't have You, Lord, as their Lord and Savior, if they've never called upon Jesus Christ and repented, if they've never recognized that it was through Your blood that the propitiation, the payment was made, and today they feel an awakening in their heart. They have a fear in their minds and in their body and in their soul that they don't want to fall in the hands of an angry God. They want to fall in the hands of a God that wants to bless them. But unless Jesus Christ has touched their lives, they can't. Lord, I pray if anyone here is there, Lord, I pray that they would right now call upon You. Right now where they are, that they would just say, Lord, please save me, God. They would repent of their ways and turn to You, God. Please do a work in them. Lord, I pray for all those that have repented. Lord, that we would look at this passage this week. Lord, that we would not allow ourselves to delight in wickedness. We would not allow evil to dwell where we can control it, that we would just get it out of our life. That we would have no place for pride in our life, because we are just beggars going to another beggar telling him where we found food. God, it's all You. God, You've done it. We have nothing to be proud of. Lord, I pray that we would hate these things, that we would destroy them in our life, God, that we would abhor them. Lord, I thank You, God, that You have not given us a spirit that is fearful that we cannot do this, but You've given us a spirit of power and love and self-control. God, You've put a Holy Spirit within us. When we come to Christ, that Spirit resides. We become a new house for Jesus. And with that comes that same power that rose our Savior from the grave. That same love that just looked upon people and said, forgive them. That same self-control that said, no, Satan, I will not partake of this world. I will not fall for Your tempting ways. I will lean on God's Word. Lord, I pray that we get serious, Lord, that we be a church. Center point would have Christ as the center of our lives. That our whole point of existence in this world, that we'd be pointing people to Jesus. That we would be looking to this community and saying that they need to. That we would spend the morning praying and bringing them to the altar saying, God, please do a work in Gilliland Center. God, please touch Gilliland High School. Please, Jesus Christ, do a work in these children's lives and the adults' lives, everyone in this community. Let a work be done here that none of us can take credit for, that it's all the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, Jesus Christ working. That we would be the church as the church ought to be. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, for this time. Thank You for an opportunity, Lord, that we have right now to change. We can change from following self and looking to You. Lord, we must come and bow humbly and fearfully. Lord, please help us. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of faith. And please help us to have faith in the faithful One. In Jesus' name, amen.